fix it in post. I'll get you to come in and
redub your lines. I'll type it all up. It'll just come across as the most monotone thing ever. I'll be okay with that. It's better than this. It's like the one week that we come back to record, it's like, oh, are you on like today, mate? Yeah. I sound like shit, though. I sound like I've got two toilet rolls stuffed up my nostrils. I've been at the public cinema. This is what happens when you go and you pick up all the germs from Oscar season, and all the other nerds come together and you share all the germs.
Isn't it great? So, yeah. Isn't it great to be back?
It's a thrilling experience, I must say. But I'm going to soldier through for the love of classical music and our fellow Patreons. That wasn't a plug.
How yeah, it's just, I'm all right. We'll just hop into it because you're dying.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Welcome back to the Final Draft Podcast. It's me, Alex Knox, and my poorly co-host, Adam Bastin.
You're right.
We watched Tar, the new Todd Field movie starring Cate Blanchett. That video of Quentin Tarantino.
What video is that?
He's like, I don't know, he's like announcing her name and he like really pronounces her name. He puts like a stink on her name.
Oh, does he? I need to see that now.
Honored it in, probably. We saw Tar. We'll probably do a Oscars episode around the time that happens, where we'll share our thoughts and everything. Obviously, this is up for. She's up for Best Leading Actress, correct? And is this a Best Picture contender?
This also is a Best Picture nomination.
Well, there we go. So it seemed pretty vital that we see this one. I dragged my girlfriend along, who I don't think wanted to see it. I think she wanted to watch like Babylon on her own, but that's all in good time.
Sorry, babe.
Sorry,
Cate Blanchett. Is
we're gonna sit through this. It's one of the most noteworthy films of the year for sure. It's got a lot of talk around it. I think it's definitely one of the big contenders this year for award season and everything. And I know a lot of our adjacent friends in this podcast universe have been speaking a lot about it. So it's been on the radar, and it's nice to see in the theater and everything. Adam, let's start with you. Did you know anything about Tar going in, or was it just
No, actually, it was one of the nominations from the Oscars. I sound fantastic, by the way. Christ. It's one of the films that I never saw the trailer for that has been nominated. I've seen pretty much all of the Oscar nominated trailers. And Tar stuck out to me because of how highly recommended it was. I've just looked on IMDb. It's been nominated for 6 Oscars, so it's 6 different categories, but it's won 53 awards already, and it's been nominated for 230 awards. That is insane. I wouldn't mind that. I'd be happy with that, I think.
I would be, yeah.
But that would do, wouldn't it? That would fill up the cabinet. It's kind of crazy, really, because this is it's one of the films I kind of not turned my nose up to, but had no interest in seeing for no particular reason other than, I feel like there's a lot of there's a lot of really fun movies right now nominated for the Oscars, like Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I still haven't seen, but I know is a great time. Babylon, which, I'm sure we'll speak about, but I had a lot of fun with that film. It just seems to be a lot of like really exciting projects, and I knew nothing about Tar other than it was about a conductor, and that's not necessarily boring to me. I just had no idea what it was, and I'm kind of glad because I watched the trailer after the film, and it was the same kind of issue that I brought up with Einsman, where trailers nowadays, they really market films for to kind of like be perceived as something a lot different to what they actually end up being. it was definitely more kind of pushed towards that horror element. It's kind of like lingering to like some sort of sinister film. And obviously this film was based a lot more on drama, social commentary, but it had like kind of like a nice, it was like a really nice ice cream with just little like a cherry on top, or just a little amount of sprinkling on top, that just kind of like, oh, creme to the creme, you know. Because I think the greatest strength of this film is in its kind of concept, but also in its writing. Long story short, I really did like this film. And just thinking back to it and thinking about the journey that it takes you on, I find it really hard sometimes to get into slow burners. And Trimmett, like, famously, we know Alex, he's not exactly thrilled about, you know, a film that's usually longer than 2 hours. He loves it short and sweet, as we know.
Yeah, but, you know. I like what I like, what can I say?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. At least you know.
Yeah. Yeah, Tara is, it's a very, I think Mark Homer in his review was saying that it's a film that is almost being aware of how long it is. You know, the film opens with this like Q&A sequence that just goes on and on, and almost purposefully so, I think, in the film.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will know this is like, this is the, she's a influential figure and she gets cancelled movie, and that's where the idea is. But we don't really get to, there's the idea of that throughout the narrative, but we don't really get to that until a significant portion through the runtime, because so much of this film is dedicated to just building this Titan and building her world and really going into the intricate details of, you know, what she does and her relationships and the people around her, and getting an idea of how she interacts with her world, because that's so vital to, you know, kind of understanding and getting kind of a full scope of her as a character. So, you know, when we do get to these more like dark revelations about her, it makes sense. We've seen how she is kind of this very monstrous entity.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cate Blanchett is really just, she's crazy. She really, like, lives in the skin of this character. And, like,
it's insane, isn't it? Yeah.
Where I really kind of picked up about this film and, like, learning about it before I saw it was just seeing people talk about it. And the meme on Twitter right now is to talk about Lydia Tarr, like, she's a real person. But I think that kind of, in a weird way, I think that actually speaks to the power of her performance, because she's so that character. She's so entrenched in this character that it does feel real, and it feels almost documentarian, and it almost feels like this is a real person, although it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
And
strangely,
it's
like biopic-esque in a weird way.
Yeah, it feels like the biopic of someone yeah. like this.
And there's so many kind of weird intricacies about the character that they explore that makes you like further believe that it's like an actual person. Because I guess like with most character development is that you kind of like cue itself into to like one trait. Like what makes this character is that they're like effortlessly mysterious, or they're like dangerously outgoing, or, you know, and you just home everything that happens to them and how they react off that one kind of emotion. And the thing is with Tara is that it's such a good study because it explores every aspect of this character, it seems. You see such a strong shell of a person, and you see a tremendous amount of guilt, and you also see how that manifests in her kind of like weird intricacies, and also like in the displays of her emotion and anxiety. And it's, I guess that's what shocked me most about it, was that you just learn so much about this one person. You feel like you go through everything, every wave, and at the forefront of it all, she's such like a, well, the guy does it perfectly at the beginning, where he kind of explains like the accolades and the kind of character It's just portrayed in front of you, and then you go on a little journey at the beginning and you see how those traits kind of manifest in her everyday life, and how that kind of works into all the other characters as well. Because it is also a lot about the side characters in this, which I wasn't expecting. You know, there's some really, really great performances throughout. And they all have, like, great purpose. There's not, like, really any character in this that I would kind of remove. I just feel like they all benefit the story so much and so uniquely in their own way. But, yeah, I'm kind of, like, blabbering on, but the main focus for me was that I guess I was just taken back by really how much, like, the depth of the story shocked me. And just places that it went and the questions it asked you as an audience member, you know, it kind of went on these weird tangents of, like, horror, as I mentioned in the initial aspects of it. And also left you just guessing all the time about what this story was going to be. You know, was it going to turn into this kind of, like, Suspiria-esque, like, mindfuck of a story where she feels like she has, like, a devil inside her or something like that, or, you know, as stories do. But no, it just kind of, it leads you down one track, but it just sends you in lots of different directions.
The film is...
you probably expand on that.
Yeah, the film is, like, it's remarkably, like, pedestrian, I think. And I mean that in, like,
interesting in a sense, way of describing it.
In the sense that, it's, like, it's very just... Again, the tangibility of a thing is very, like, grounded. The film rarely kind of bursts out into some sort of, like, elaborate, you know, cinema spectacle. It's not that movie at all. It has flashes of, like, we're going to hit you with some imagery. We're going to hit you with some sort of, like, flash of symbolism or, you know, some sort of abstractness. But for the most part, the film is very, like, on the feet and very objective about her. And, like, what, and, like, we, you know, we follow her perspective throughout the whole thing, really, but, you know, it's very objective about what she sees. But the interesting part of that is we don't know really what's, we only get allusions to what she's actually thinking. We don't really ever get that expressed fully. I think the film is pretty clear about the fact that she probably is guilty of the things that she's done, but the film isn't trying to, like, liberate her from that. It's not a redemption story.
Yeah.
It is a fool. And it's... You kind of start it kind of thinking, maybe, you know, maybe there's some plausible deniability. Maybe she is kind of... She's clearly very narcissistic and of herself, and she's in this kind of insane world that is completely, like, you know, in this world of classical music. She's a conductor and... You know, and she's talking about the greats and stuff. And as someone who has no reference point for any of that, you know, it made me feel like a dum-dum. I'm sat there being like an idiot. But I think there's, I think there might be some intentionality in that. Because I think it maybe if you, you know, I think you probably recognise that when you're writing this film, that not everyone, this isn't going to, like, land home for everyone. But,
yeah,
you know, there's a great part where she's teaching, is it Juilliard, and she's, like, being really dismissive of the student.
Oh, it's an insane
of the students
scene.
And stuff. And they're, like...
Yeah.
It's just very well... It's just very well handled, you know, the way they approach that scene. Because the core of the issue is that she's being a bitch. She's being rude.
Yeah.
She's being dismissive. She's not open to their ideas. You know, maybe she's trying to make some sort of valid point in there, but... She's doing it in completely the wrong way. And it's just such a great navigation of this type of character. Because I think when I hear, like, as an idea, oh yeah, our main character's going to get cancelled and we're going to, like, explore that as an idea.
It's pretty boring.
You know, well, it puts you on edge a bit. Because it's like, okay, well, this is, it's a tricky subject. You know, it's a very, very tricky subject to manage, and I think they've done it perfectly here, because, you know, first of all, she's subversive. The type of character that she is subversive as someone who you would think to get cancelled. She's not like a influencer or entrenched in the Hollywood world or something like that. You know, she's a conductor. Like, you know, we think of someone like that being, you know, being bad behind the scenes, but of course it can happen, and it does, and the film even talks about the history of, you know, conductors and stuff, and you know that, and about the idea of artists who do wrong and you know are bad people but yeah. and kind of flirting with the idea of, you know, that idea of separating art from the artist. But also the film does come to a conclusion of like, well, but she deserves this downfall, you know, because she did do these things, and she is cruel and monstrous.
It just explores it. Yeah,
exactly. And it's just a very nuanced way of approaching it, you know. And I've seen criticisms about it, about the way they handle the subject matter, that, you know, some people have sort of felt that, I think one of the female conductors they reference in the film, I think she kind of had she wrote this big thing about how she felt like the film was kind of anti-woman, and she felt like, because this woman gets referenced when in that opening sequence where she's talking about influential female conductors, and then she gets name dropped, and she felt like, because she's a noteworthy gay woman conductor, that, you know, she felt like it's kind of hard for it to not be a bit of a parallel to her, and, you know, the kind of assumptions it makes. But it's not, you know, I think that's kind of, although maybe I understand where that's coming from to a degree, it's kind of a bad faith argument, because, you know, the film is, she's not a real person, but she's the idea of a character.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you're kind of like, it's like arguing against, you know, just a hypothetical person. You know, you're just arguing against like, you know, a concept. Like, it's not, it's not really what the film's about. The film is just about the concept of this kind of what this person is like, and like, why would someone be like that? Like, what kind of world do they live in to be in that? And it's a world where, you know, you are very, maybe you do have a gift and you're very powerful and you're very enigmatic and people are very drawn to you, and because you're in this world that's also very superficial and very, you know, you're in this high art world where it's all about the greatness of art and very, like, you know, pretentious bullshit basically, you would become like narcissistic, and then your relationships were, and that's, you know, what her partner says to her, like, you've never had a relationship that hasn't been transactional, and you see that throughout the whole film, that all her relationships have this degree of transaction, and she's not afraid to be, you know, cruel and cunning when she drops her daughter off at the school, and you know, kids getting bullied, and she confronts this bully who's just another like 8-year-old girl, and she says like, I'm gonna do things, and like, no one's gonna believe you because I'm an adult and you're not. And it's just a fantastic, that's like one of the penny drop moments where you're like, oh, she is like, okay, she is a bad person.
Like, she's pure evil.
She will do anything. And a whole sort of relationship with her assistant, and you just see the kind of the layers of manipulation, and you see how frightened she is as well when it's all coming loose, and she's had this relationship with a former peer, and that ended, and it sounds like she kind of wrote off her career and really stopped her from progressing in the world. Potentially, you know, she could have been another famous conductor as well, but she's actively stopped that, and there's evidence of that, and she knows that her assistant has that evidence, and she's so crazily like persistent about, you have to delete it, and she never, and you know, she plays it off as like, well, we just don't want that attention, we don't want to be associated with this, and she creates this narrative that, you know, initially you think there might be truth in that, But it gets to that point where you realise, like, oh no, you know, she fucking she did this stuff and she's scared. She knows it's all going to crumble around her. And it's just, it's really fascinating.
It's an interesting perspective, isn't it? You know, because I think that that's what I kind of was trying to get at, was that, like, you see so many kind of emotional ranges of this one character, and her main personality doesn't, like, take control of the story. It's not about, like, how, who she is as a person. It's about, like, her choice and circumstances, and the like the resolutions of that, and the result, sorry, of it all. What I found really interesting as well was that I think these kind of stories are often told, maybe not on the forefront, but within narratives already, but they're often told from the victim's perspective. Like, I was thinking about how if something a bit more kind of, like, artsy, I guess you could put it, or a bit more kind of, like, not as kind of, like, narrative-driven and more kind of, like, genre-driven, something like Black Swan, there is a part of that story that speaks about these same themes, but it's an aspect of something else, and obviously it's told from her perspective of the teacher abusing her like that. And I found it quite interesting how the whole story was told from the perspective of the abuser and exploring, like, their kind of, just them as a person. And it made it a really powerful piece. Sometimes it, like, a really uncomfortable, you know, sometimes it's really powerful in the sense that it's uncomfortable. And, you know, it just makes you, it's the kind of film that just makes you feel many things. But the majority of the time, it does make you feel very, very uncomfortable. I remember many times where the person I saw this with, we were just kind of, like, curled up in just, like, not almost like, I don't know how to describe it. It's not, like, cringe, but it's almost just, like, I think in just, like, pure, like, fear of, like, how these interactions with people are going to turn out. Like, the whole scene with the classroom where she's being so passive aggressive. I feel like I've met that person, or I know a person like that, or a teacher like that.
Yeah, we've definitely all had that, like, tutor or something, or lecturer, where they ask you a very leading question because they know exactly what you're going to say, and then they say something that, like, decimates you, like, to your core of your being, you know, and make you just look like a complete idiot.
It's so awful. And, yeah, like, it just makes your stomach go.
And, you know, you really think about that kind of behaviour, it is like, yeah, you know, that's that's a really shitty thing to do.
Yeah, and, it's awful.
You know, maybe, and it's funny because obviously that gets brought up again later on in the film, where she's been filmed by one of the other students, and all the stuff she said has been, like, taken out of context, and it has been taken out of context to make her look really bad.
Yeah.
But it's funny that, you know, she doesn't, again, the irony is that she doesn't understand that the reason why they were filming was because she was being an asshole, you know. And and that's a very interesting kind of, because that's, like, a conversation you hear all the time when it comes to, like, cancelling stuff, where it's like, well, they took this out of context and stuff, and, you know, that can be true a lot of the time, but that is also an element of it. It's like, well, why were people even paying attention to what you were saying in the first place? Why do people have a negative feeling towards you in that way in the first place, you know? And, you know, I don't want to get into, like, recent events with, like, with people in the media and stuff, but there's just been a lot of that, sure, where it's like, you know, the argument is, well, it's all been taken out of context, and there's a vendetta against me, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, why is there a vendetta against you in the first place? Like, you know, there's layers to these things, you know. And I just think the way the film approaches it is really good. You don't realise how broad the film is until you really kind of sit with it and think about it after. I think when I left the film, you know, I felt like, oh, it was good and I liked it and, like, she was great and everything, but it didn't really stick with me very much. Partially because of that runtime, I do feel like, we spoke about runtime so much on this podcast. For me, it's about earning your runtime. And I think, like, in Kermode's assessment of, like, the film is very aware that it's being long, I think it's very true, and I just don't love that personally as a stylistic thing to do in a film. But when I was rethinking about the film and after I left, like, it really, and the more I kind of sat with it, the more I just realised there were all these kind of reincorporations and there was just all these little details that, like, popped up again. And there's probably a lot of this film that I don't remember just because of the length, but there's so much that I do remember, you know. There's just so many interactions that are just very burnt into my mind now. And, you know, and I think even when it comes to, like, the way the film was shot, like, the film looks very clean and it's just very, like, neutral. Mm. But there's so much great, like, blocking in the film. There's so much, like, great power dynamics through just how they position the camera and how they, you know, put her in frame. And it just, it's very simple stuff, but it's so well executed that it's just it just leaves a really great impression in your mind. The film kind of has this, when it sort of gets to the midway point, it kind of, there is a sort of change in the way that it looks and stuff, and the way that it kind of starts to feel. And you were saying about how the kind of genre feels like it kind of changes at points, and I think that is true, that you know, the film suddenly becomes suspenseful and it can suddenly become like a whole different film. And it can balance all these different tones in the same story because it's all connected, and there's still that through line throughout the whole thing. That's a very hard thing to do, to get to work, you know, to get to work in a film, to be able to go to a lot of points and have it all come back to one place. And I think that's very apparent in the ending of the film. We're pretty spoilery, so I don't mind talking about it, but I mean,
sure.
I said to you that, you know, the ending of the film is just fucking, is wild. Because it's a massive joke. The end is a massive joke, and yet it's so perfect for the end, for what the story is and the direction that character has been going throughout the whole thing. And it's just, it's so satisfying. And it's a good, I think, ending on that joke where she's playing, you see she's conducting, but it's for like a video game thing, and it's like at a fan con, and there's all these people in cosplay watching her, and it's hilarious because you just know, it's just a funny, because it catches you off guard completely.
Yeah,
it's a very earned laugh because you spent the whole film feeling so tense and feeling so uncomfortable with her, especially as it progresses, and just feeling more and more, you know, on the edge of your seat with her and just kind of repulsed by her. And to see her there, and you just know after everything you've seen that her doing that, her being up on that stage for those people, fucking kills her. You know that is utterly devastating for her to have to be there. You know, to be this grand, you know, being called one of the greatest artists of your time, and then you're there at like a
convention. No one's there for you. They're there for
just
the
feeling that.
They're there for the spectacle and the film, not the composer. That she just plays the soundtrack. No one cares about her. They're not there to see her.
Exactly. And it's just
brilliant. And such a perfect ending.
You know, you saying that is actually a very, I think that is the takeaway of the film, because she's a conductor, and that is part of her flaw, right? Is that she talks about the greatness of the art, and she talks about the power of the art and all this stuff, and yet she's on this pedestal. She's on this high pedestal where she's being called greatest artist of her time, all this stuff. And for the ending to be that confirmation of no one is here for you, they're here for this amazing work that you didn't make, you know, is just, that's a perfect ending for that character.
Yeah, where her whole life surrounded by the circle being around her, and then all of a sudden she was just, yeah, like she was one of them, I guess. She was working towards something else, towards the spectacle. Because all those people turned up in the auditorium and bought her records for her, and it's the complete opposite almost. It's completely parallel with the beginning of the film, where the beginning of the film starts off of, you know, her being so highly praised as an individual, and the ending being the complete opposite, in the sense that, like, she isn't the important factor anymore. It is just the music. And yeah, I liked what you said about the fact that it just must kill her, because you see how she reacts to just the slightest kind of, not even the criticism, like, annoys her, but it's more so like, her own self. Like, her conflict of the film doesn't really come from other people, even when she's given, like, these obstacles of, like, oh, we've got an email from this person, like, this is going on, like, this person thinks that. She doesn't give a shit about it. Like, she's... The thing that she's concerned about is the music and how she's perceived. Only when it starts affecting that, that it starts to become a real issue. And then she loses everything. And you see how that actually affects her. Because when she loses her wife and her child and has to move out of her home, and there's an amazing part at the beginning, towards the end, where she moves back into the family home. And I thought this was a really good bit that just kind of like led you towards the end, where the brother came home and presumably they hadn't seen or spoke to each other for years. And he just wasn't bothered but to see her. He just kind of shared a few sentences with her and then went off into the other room.
Yeah.
Made a kind of snarky comment.
That's a really fantastic choice.
Like, he doesn't care about her. Yeah. Like, it just
clearly
goes to show,
that relationship has been completely burnt. Clearly, like,
yeah,
she left, she became a star, never looks back once, and that's that. And now she's back, and he's like, why are you here? It's just fucking,
because,
oh,
she
it's
hates
so
that.
Good.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, it's so well written. There's so many great choices in it. Like, he doesn't care about her. He doesn't care about the spectacle, and he doesn't care about it because she's built a world around herself where everyone just, like, she's the centre of it. And she acts all, like, humble at the beginning. This is why I feel like it really, like, it really earns its time. Because we have spoken about it a lot, and you perfectly put it about how a film should kind of earn its runtime. And I really enjoyed those scenes in reflection of just, like, when the woman came up to her afterwards, after the talk, and asked her about, questions and stuff. And you saw it really from the perspective of her assistant and how it just went on forever. And she was being really humble in that situation, but allowed the conversation to keep going.
Yeah, you can see
and
how...
she saw it.
You can see how uncomfortable the assistant is and how... Like, when you... If you watch this without any context going in, you're like, oh, okay, it's like, you know, she's meeting a fan.
She's a bit jealous.
She's jealous. And maybe she is a bit jealous, but, you know, it's the fact that clearly Lyditar is, like, reveling in it. You know, she's, like, eating it up. She loves this. She loves, you know, and it's this attractive woman. He's giving her attention and wants to keep in contact with her. And on a second watch, you're going to be like, she's on ecstasy right now. This fucking this creepy bitch is loving this right now.
Yeah.
It's
and also,
it's great.
But also the perspective afterwards on the second viewing, which I'm really excited to do as well. The second viewing of knowing the full extent of, like, her victims.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
how long it must have been going on for. And then you realise it wasn't sudden at all. This was something that she revelled in and accepted as part of who she was for years. Like, they talk at the beginning of the first dialogue is where she's like, oh, she started at a young age, Berlin accepted her as their main conductor, and she's stayed there ever since. She's been there for fucking years. And she's also kind of outseen the kind of, she's kicking everyone else out.
Yeah.
All of the wonderful teachers who are so, like, that's another scene as well. That amazing piece where she showed, like, her power to herself when she went into that room and never at one point asked him to leave.
No.
Just made a suggestion. It's the suggestion, but the, oh, I'll definitely think about it, you know? Like, the dialogue in this film is so great. Like, if this doesn't win Best Picture, I imagine it probably will win some sort of screenplay award, because it's one of the best dialogue-written pieces and just narratively-written pieces that I've seen in such a long time. It's so well considered, this film.
It is up for original screenplay. I think it's definitely, based on what I'm seeing right now, it'd be my pick for best screenplay for sure. because there is so much depth to the writing, and you know, it's hard to do that, man. And Todd Field is not a director whose work I know that well, and this is his like third feature. And I'm gonna have to just rush to try and absorb everything he's made now, just to get context for him as a maker, because you know, it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing to be able to just be able to do that, you know. And
yeah,
and you know, and the fact that this is, I think this has done pretty well, and obviously it's up for awards and stuff. It's really refreshing to see this in, you know, because I just went to like my local, well, my local, but a regular chain, and this is playing, and it's like this.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be watching this in, like, you know,
Watershed.
In a small theatre.
Yeah, independent. Where
you get, you know, so foreign stuff, and everything. Like, it's cool that this is getting out there a bit, and it's got this recognition. And this year's been good for that, man, I think, in terms of Oscars. Like, yeah. I think this is a really exciting year, because there's a lot of... I feel like there's a lot of variety in what's been nominated. There's obviously some obvious, like... There's some obvious... Snubs, you know. Nope, yep. Clearly is
as always.
It's like, yeah. But it is a very exciting year because of the contenders we've got coming up. I mean, if you look at the best pictures, it's like, you know, you've got everything everywhere. You've got Avatar in the mix, and you've got this, and Top Gun Maverick, and Elvis, and Banshees. Like, these are all very, you know. I wouldn't say any of these are. You know, they have that. You see the tropes of best picture nominations. You know, you've got a biopic in there, you've got like the big blockbusters, the big action films, or whatever. I guess that is sometimes, you know, but like, it's a very interesting year. I'm very interested to see how it goes.
I have to say this before I forget it, but there's this one scene that everyone's talking about, and I haven't really given it much thought because it's not what interests me about the film at all. I think a lot of what we spoke about already is the stuff that I find interesting, but I have to ask you, because everyone's asking it. The scene where she runs after her student into her house, and she kind of disappears and is led into the dungeon, the maze, and she hits her head. People are trying to kind of overanalyze that and trying to figure out what it means. Do you think it's important, or at all? Like, what did you think that represented?
I was going to bring up that scene earlier, or that sequence.
Sure.
I understand why so many people are talking about that, because it's very weird.
It makes you think it's going into the horror, down the horror plug hole, I think.
Well, it's weirdly tense, and... You know, yeah. It's the one time where she's in any sorts of peril. What stands out to me about that part is that, you know, she builds this relationship with the new cello player, and she clearly takes a liking to her.
Sure.
And, you know, she's like left this like stuffed rabbit, and she's going to give it to her. And, you know, she walks into this like abandoned derelict building that no one would live in. Like, this person would not live there, you know?
No.
You'd think. But maybe she... But then I was... it is weird, because maybe she does. I think what is noteworthy, though, is that clearly she's not really taking any mind to... She is aware of that place. She is like, this is weird. You know, she's clearly aware that it's like a derelict building, and like, why would she be here? But it's her like obsession with just getting to her, right? Like, she doesn't,
yeah,
she doesn't consider, you know, she doesn't consider danger of the danger. Hill. Yeah. I guess there's reflections of that. There's a part where she's running and you hear someone screaming for help, and nothing really comes from that, and I just find that interesting. That, you know, she's not aware of like these dangers, and maybe that's something about like her as a person of influence, that she just doesn't, you know, that just doesn't cross her mind, and she thinks she's very capable. You know, we see that she does the boxing and stuff. She thinks that she can, she clearly thinks she can handle her own shit. And maybe, you know, maybe like, maybe there's subtext to that where the cello player, maybe she doesn't want to, maybe she knows, like, yeah, this woman's like, is trying to, she's trying to make moves on me, maybe, but I don't know. But then it's very blurred. Yeah, maybe on a second watch I'd get more out of it. Maybe it's and you know, and there's that kind of delusion. She says that like she got jumped, and like clearly that's not what happened. falls over and eats shit. Yeah, it is a very weird little moment in the film.
It does strike me as a bit of a weird one because, the person I saw this with, I think we had a couple of breaks in this where we just kind of quietly chatted to ourselves where we thought it was going to go. And my genuine perspective on it at the time was that there was more and more horror elements in it that started to kind of creep in. You know, like the time ticking, the whole thing about maybe there was like a spirit haunting, and you see the whole film from like this perspective of the spirit, right. Which I found quite chilling. Well, they say that the first shot, which I'll come back to because I didn't make much sense of it, but there's a shot in the auditorium of the student with red hair watching the lecture. That's supposedly the spirit of the girl who killed herself.
Or is that an idea?
Watching on. Yeah.
Okay.
And that the whole movie is done from the perspective of the spirit, which kind of just gives me really, it creeps me out.
She does that thing where she like gets into the house and she does some sort of like little, like I don't know, like a ritual, I guess.
Yeah.
Some sort of cleansing thing. You know, and that could be an element of that. Yeah, you know, that's an interesting idea.
But she's such a strange individual though, because yeah, she's so high functioning, and it was really weird to see how that manifested in her outside of the auditorium. Like the scene where the it's so long, there's so many things that happen. Like where her neighbor's mum dies or falls over. And she runs back to her apartment and takes all of her clothes off and washes herself in the sink, like really, really quickly. I found that really weird.
Well, she's a germaphobe. She's constantly like sanitizing her hands and stuff. And that's just a little. there's probably another element of that. But, you know, it's.
She's clearly. Building, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, clearly it's building on the idea that she can't confront like the dirt in her life, like quite literally. You know, she's got this very sanitized image that she wants to keep up. And little things, you know, about the house that she lives in. And you find out that, like, she just keeps it for, like, you know, just for some sort of nostalgic reason or something. Or,
right.
You know, her partner kind of makes a comment about, like, why do you stay there?
Why do you keep that horrible place? Yeah.
Yeah. And, it doesn't look like a great place. I mean, you've got like a woman who's like on the verge of death next door. She's got all these weird, she's got all these idiosyncrasies that just really flesh her out.
My perspective on that was that not this important, but that's like, I feel like that's the house where she lures all of her students and has sex with them out of like the eye of everyone.
Oh, clearly, like
that was part
of her, because she's taking the girl around, and
that's why she doesn't want to get rid of it.
You know, she's like in her bathroom and stuff. It's kind of like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And
we did comment on that, actually. It was like when she walked in and we were just like, we were saying like, come into this room. This is where the bedroom is. When they were like kind of like floating around the house. Like, oh, what's in this room? Oh, there's a bed in here. Oh,
she's
damn.
She's coming from the room. So unsubtle. And she's like, can I have a towel? And she kind of pauses. Oh. She's like, yeah. You know, like. It's just.
Yeah, she can't. Although she's horrified by it in some way, she also revels in it. In most things in her life, I suppose.
Yeah.
I guess that's why she can't get rid of it.
And that's the thing, it's interesting. And that scene, without context, you know, that scene in a bubble almost plays like kind of cute. It almost plays kind of like a cute little romantic, I don't know, story.
Yeah.
But with the whole context of everything, it's like, oof. Oh, this is weird. She's not safe here. I don't like her being here. She needs to go, like, and she doesn't, and it's funny because she doesn't do anything. She doesn't make a move. She doesn't, you know. It's just,
It's a weird one. But I feel like that's what she does, is that she kind of, I can't help but feel that there are multiple people and she just kind of takes her time with it. She's like patient. I don't know. It's weird to like put your mind in her. I don't even know how to describe it, but like her kind of like her needs and like her desires, and to try and figure out how. It's like with anything, like when you watch a movie about a psychopath or a murderer, and you're exploring like all these weird kind of like behaviors, and I guess the long runtime and the things that they explore. Like you mentioned at the beginning, you know, it makes her feel like a real person, which just makes it feel more uncomfortable.
Hmm.
I feel like this character could have been like a commentary on lots of different people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a strange thing that I know sometimes people write characters based on other people, and I guess people kind of like. Directors and that really pronounce that. It's like, oh yeah, this character's based off this person in real life. Right, and I feel like,
and then you watch it and it's like, yeah, not really, sort of.
Well, not really. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's what Todd intended, but like, at least from my perspective, you know, I feel like, yeah, Tar could have been lots of different people, but really doesn't focus on that. It just focuses on like. The wider story and the perspective at least of it, but yeah, overall just like a really strange. I found it really odd that I was viewing it through the abuser's perspective and like seeing their life and how they are as a person, which was so uncomfortable but also really intriguing because you just didn't know where you stood through the whole thing. It was throwing so many things at you where. I genuinely thought it was going to go, and I didn't want it to, I'm glad it didn't, but I genuinely thought it was going to go down like a horror route. I thought it was going to just throw the towel in and be like, yeah, like it's going to, one of the other characters is going to find like a den, and she's going to have like, I don't know, just like hung all these bodies up of students, and it's going to be like, you know, or something like Suspiria-esque like that.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, don't do that after all this build up. You know, but it doesn't, and it's probably at the time I remember when the ending happened, I went, what just happened? Like, what did I just watch? I don't understand. I don't understand. And I had to just sit there, and I'm glad it wasn't just me. Like, everyone around me in the cinema was like, what the fuck? Except from one chap at the front who was like creasing. He was like laughing so hard, and I was like, I don't get it.
That was me.
Yeah. But yeah, I just did find it really quite shocking, and I'm glad it ended the way it was, because as I've mentioned, it felt like a perfect kind of summary of this exploration of this character. And the more I think about it, the more kind of comes to light, and the more I'm like, yeah, it's really smart. And it doesn't try to be like, I don't think it tries to be like pretentious about it either. I think it just genuinely is well written, and well conceived, which is a breath of fresh air, really, to be honest.
It stuck with me more the more I thought about it, and I'm definitely good to give it another watch just to kind of let it digest. My reservation, like, I've rated this like a 7 out of 10 on my Letterboxd, and I feel like I've been a little too sour on it. I think it's just because the vibe of the screening wasn't really like, you know,
it was an odd one.
It sits weirdly for sure. And that runtime, it is an ask, you know, because it's the film isn't dry, but it just requires a lot of attention throughout the whole thing, and you know, that's hard. It's hard sometimes, especially when you have a a ruined brain like mine. So I'm feeling more of a 4-star to a 9-star. It's closer to the 9 for me. You know, it's definitely, this performance is amazing. The writing is amazing. The cinematography is amazing. It's got all of these factors where, like, even, you know, I think even coming out of it and feeling like not very sure about it, I was still like, well, it's definitely good. You know, like, even coming out of it, I didn't really know what to think of it. I was still kind of like, well, this is still like really good. And, you know, me and we had a conversation coming out of it where my girlfriend wasn't that into it. And, you know, it's just different tastes, really. But she just said, like, well, you know, I felt like it didn't really have, like, a lot of hooks. And it was just really long. And, it just wouldn't kind of cease. And I do think that's true. It's a film that doesn't cease. There's not a lot of, like, respites throughout this, you know. It's just a lot of, like, there's a lot of what the film is. But what I think the film is very genius in a way, so I am conflicted on it. So yeah, I'm feeling like a 4-star for me.
Yeah, it kind of like makes you so uncomfortable that you look away and you go, oh, I can't do this scene anymore. And it goes, no, I'm not finished.
Yeah,
like I'm not done yet.
We're still going.
And that's another thing that really impressed me. By the way, is I know you mentioned earlier the visuals. I realised how many of these scenes that went on forever were one shot. Like, and then it would like about 3/4 of the way in, or when the scene finished, I went, holy shit, that was all one shot. And I'm like, that's just so crazy. Like, because the performances were so well done, I was like, there's no way that, it just didn't make any sense to me that it was one shot. It was like, how many fucking times do they do this? Or are they just that good? Yeah, the film is like surprisingly beautiful. It kind of starts off quite documentarian. And, you know, like there's a lot of scenes where it's just two people. And it's just back and forth at a table, or they're stood up. And it's very static. And then there are some times where it breaks away from that. And it just gives you these beautiful images. There's this one bit where I think it's like a bit of a waterfall, and Tar's under the waterfall or whatever, and I gasped in the cinema. I was like, oh wow, that's really pretty. And there was many moments like that, and I don't like think that it was at the forefront of the plan of it. There was definitely like a couple of shots that I laughed at as well, though, because it was just like blatant. It was a good day for German car manufacturers. Should we put it that way?
Right.
there's plenty of those shots in it. But I'll take that if it means that more films like this could be made.
True.
But yeah, overall, I rated it as a 4 out of 5 on my Letterboxd. But the more I think about it, the more it's kind of creeping up as something that, especially in comparison to other contenders, is really strong. You know, I'm looking around 4.5. Because I don't think there's you know, I have a handful of people that I talk about film with, obviously you being the most, but I haven't spoken, I'm not cheating you on your Alex, don't worry.
The fuck?
But yeah, the fuck is this? It's not part of your contract. yeah. So, but it's been, my point being is that it's been like the only film I've spoken about, and I've seen like The Fablemans, I've seen Babylon, yeah, and I'm making my way through it. I'm just trying to do it because I really want to. I really want us to do Oscar season well this year, because we've had 2 years now where we've just kind of, oh, that went by.
Yeah.
with no like intention.
It's a good way to wrap up. It just kind of happens. Just fill in the blanks.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's more coming on Oscar season, and you know. It's also a great time for us as well to talk to you. It's a time that really pulls people into watching film.
It is.
And the conversation, especially on things like our Discord and that, seems to pump up a lot around this time of year, where there's just so many contenders that everyone pushes themselves to watch. So discussion is just greater. And we want to be able to share that with you guys. You know, we want to be able to share our views about and our experiences of watching these pieces, and hopefully do something a little bit special, you know, at the time that the Oscars is on. Because I, you know, there's a potentiality that I might actually watch it live this year, because there's so much that I'm actually genuinely interested in.
You are a madman.
I know, because it's also like a Jimmy Fallon is like hosting it, isn't he?
Great.
Which is like, like I'll say no more.
Last year this was pretty tedious, I remember.
It's a big ask, yeah. Because it's a ridiculous time because it's in America.
Yeah.
And there's often a lot of adverts because it's America. So
yeah, and they do like skits and all this. It's just the Oscars show is fucking terrible.
It sucks.
it's the fucking worst.
Get the final draft in and we'll do it like nice and raw. We'll just go in, just be like, look, hi guys, this is the contenders, and then we'll give everyone a 2 minute talky piece where they have a bit of a cry and a bit of a show off and they fuck off. And then we'll do the next one. I think everyone would prefer that. Or just read the list out. Everyone will claps. And then we have a discussion about it. And everyone leaves because they're not interested.
They go back to the let's know parties. Which,
our phone lines are open, you know.
The offers are...
When Jimmy Fallon gets...
Your move, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. When he's asking for too much next year, you know where we are. We'll do it for 8% off. Anyway,
yeah, that'll definitely be we'll probably do more individual episodes for Oscar stuff if we see it along the way, and when it's time we'll do a big Oscars episode. Well, that was Tar. Thank you for listening. Please let us know what you thought about this movie, this gargantuan film. Please let me know. I want to know your thoughts. You can do that by joining our Discord. There's a link in the show notes. You can follow our socials, send us a DM, say hello whenever. A few of you guys have been saying hello recently. It's lovely to hear from you. Please keep doing that. It makes me happy. If you enjoy the show, leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It helps massively, so please. If you want to support the show as well, you can go to patreon.com/finaldraft. £4 a month gets you access to a monthly bonus episode. There should be one soon for you guys, where we shoot the breeze and we talk about anything entertainment related. So it's a good time, and there's loads of episodes there. So if you want a backlog of episodes to listen to, you can go there. We will be back soon. I don't know what it will be next after this one. We need to do double features because we haven't done that in so
That's
long.
Right.
I am so sorry. And yeah, there'll be more Oscars-related stuff coming up throughout the next of this month. When is Oscars? Is it March?
It is March, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be building up to Oscars, I think, until then. And maybe we'll watch some new stuff in between. Cocaine Bear is coming out. Are you going to watch that?
Bro, day one. That's a day one.
I'll be there.
Absolutely.
With my big rubber finger.
I can't wait for that. I genuinely... genuinely quite excited.
Would it be the greatest film of all time? It's hard to say.
We've got to find out, haven't we?
I guess we will. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Blanchette.